1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH, Sitter Time 752. And the first Thursday of each month, we check in with State Representative Tina Corpus of Greenwich. Good morning, Representative. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks, Tony. Nice to speak to you.
Good talking to you. And 1 month to go left in the legislative session. What can you tell us is going on up there in Hartford?
Yes, we have 1 month to go. I would say that top of the mind for a lot of legislators is the budget. The committee work of most of the committees is finished, and that means that the bills are going to the Appropriations Committee, on which I sit. And now, we are heavily into the process of figuring out essentially how we pay for all this.
All right, and one of the things that was talked about with other lawmakers is things coming down from Washington or not coming in from Washington. How hard is it to try to juggle these things and try to put together a budget here?
I'm glad you brought that up, because there are a couple of things that were going on as we came into 2025, which are pressures on the budget, essentially. One is what you mentioned. We have an administration that seems to be shifting responsibility away from the federal government to the states. And, on appropriations, we stand ready, willing, and able to fill gaps when they arise. I have done a lot of work trying to dig and ask questions and figure out exactly where those holes are. So a couple of distinctions I wanted to make. Some of the holes that we read about in the paper, for example, cuts to the Department of Public Health, are really the lapsing of federal COVID relief money. We got ESSER money and ARPA money in the state of Connecticut, a significant amount of that money, and it was due to be contracted by the end of 2024. So just heading into the budget year without any federal cuts, a big source of capital was gone. And I think that there is a little bit of confusion in reporting in the media about what is simply a lapse of COVID money and what is a federal cut coming from Washington. And to me, there's a big difference. These COVID programs, a lot of them were excellent and helped people, but we did live without them before COVID, and now we're in the post-COVID era. So one thing I think is important to distinguish is what's a lapse of COVID money and what is a true cut from the federal government. And then on the cut side, a lot of stuff is coming, but it is hard to discern, and I've not seen anywhere in the budget process a line item that was, $100 million, $10 million of federal funding that's now gone to zero. So the way I'll characterize the federal cuts is we're still trying to get to the bottom of it. Stand ready, willing, and able to fill any shortfalls. But we've got to be very clear about what we're dealing with.
All right. But again, a month to go in the session, is there uncertainty with working with the budget? And another thing that comes into play is the fiscal guardrails. Will they still be adhered to coming down the stretch here?
Well, as people know, Connecticut, probably the most significant thing that's happened in the legislature, in my opinion, in the last 20 years, is that in 2017, we enacted the fiscal guardrails. And this was a really big moment for Connecticut. We started to turn this ship around with those guardrails. And, on the campaign trail, both sides of the aisle, we're talking about how we've paid down debt and talking about how we've controlled our spending and talking about how our credit rating has improved. Well, all of those good things, for the first time since 2017, are really on the chopping block this year. The governor put forth a budget on February 5th, which broke the fiscal guardrails. The majority party put forth a budget which passed out of appropriations. I voted no, which broke the fiscal guardrails. And it seems to be almost a given in certain people's minds that that should have to happen this year. And, I and others strongly disagree. We can do a budget which can keep us under the guardrails and can keep us moving in the right direction. And I think between here and June 4th, that's going to be the big work of the minority party, and I hope it's the big work of everyone. I do believe it's doable. We've got to make some cuts to, frankly, the size of our government, and not in ways that hurt people and hurt delivery of services. But things like, pay increases for government workers, which have gone up 30%, government worker pay has gone up 33% since 2019. I don't know about other people, but that certainly hasn't happened for me in the private sector. And, you know, the GDP growth of our state over the same period of time was 4.9%. You know, how do you justify such a massive increase in government and the cost associated with that while we're having such budget strains? So what I'm trying to point out is that I believe that there are ways to do a fiscally responsible budget that keeps us within the guardrails and keeps us on the right track and provides for people. But we've really got to look at our government here.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you one more time before the end of the session. Two things that have been talked about a lot, and get your real quick thought from you just about a minute to go. Housing and energy. Anything going to happen with those in the last month?
On the Housing Committee, there are a number of housing bills out there this year. People know the terms fair share, which is fair share and work, live, ride are both bills aimed at state control, frankly, of and state imposition of affordable housing goals onto towns. Those are bills which really take away towns' ability to provide affordable housing at a local level, which I think is a much better model. And those are out there, and we really got to think hard about whether we want to go to that model, because the towns are best equipped to make those decisions. The towns are best equipped to fund those decisions. And I know in Greenwich, we have made a lot of progress on affordable housing, but we've got to be able to do it our way. It's better for the environment. It's better for the infrastructure of the town. It's better for the density of the town. And those are going to be, I think, quite big battles coming up in the legislature in the next month.
All right. State Representative Tina Corpus, appreciate your time this morning. Have yourself a great day. We'll talk again one more time before the end of the session.
You too, Tony. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that is State Representative Tina Corpus joins me on the first Thursday of each month. And coming up next Thursday will be State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich.